So yeah, that's been my last few days, I guess. When we rebooted the podcast, it was, you know, horror from the oceans and horror from the deep and the whole Titanic Titan thing.
Right.
And then now my 12-year-old has just seen Titanic for the first time. And when I went to go drop her off this morning, she had asked me a couple questions about little things about Titanic, about, you know, were they this way or were they that way? And then what if? And I could just tell it was on her mind. And I was like, so do you just have Titanic on the brain? She's like, yeah, it's just kind of like all I can think about. I was like, well, you know, James Cameron, the guy who made the Titanic, I was like, he made Terminator, Terminator 2, The Abyss, Titanic, Avatar. It was like, all of his movies are the top movies that have ever been made.
Yeah.
Probably the exception of the original Terminator, because it was a horror action movie that came out in the early 80s before he was anybody.
He's pretty much bank.
But starting with Terminator 2, you know, it, like, all of his movies, the only ones that are getting close to breaking his movies' records are his own movies. Like, there's no other, you know, Steven Spielberg's huge, but he doesn't touch James Cameron.
No, not at all.
Anyway. And then, of course, I was watching it with her, so of course I've got Titanic on the brain as well, because it's a damn good movie, you know?
It is a good movie. I've seen it, you know, pretty much everybody's seen it more than once.
Yeah.
But it's a good movie, and, you know, it has a lot of good elements to it. It's suspenseful. It keeps your attention. Pacing is good on it and everything. And it's just, like I told you before the show, I appreciated the movie. And, you know, you growing up, we all know about the Titanic and everything. It's one thing that we all, you know, learned about as kids, especially Gen X. But when I went to that Titanic museum and immersed myself in the actual experience, it was pretty emotional, and it really got to me, and I really had a different appreciation for everything, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's like I said, it seems to be the subject of the summer over here in the Billy household, but we're not going to talk about that, because we got a whole other thing to talk about.
Yes.
Welcome everybody to episode 182.
Jesus Christ,
of the Scary Dad Podcast.
Think about that for a second. We've spent, you know, at a minimum, on average probably, because we've had some podcasts that have gone for a lot longer, you know, 2 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, 182 times. It's a lot of time we've spent together.
That's days.
And that's just what we recorded.
Yeah, that's just chatting. There's often times where we're like, man, we should have recorded that. So yes, June 17th, 2023, and the subject of this one is going to come right out of the new business, but this is Aliens Among Us. We've had alien shows before talking about the existence, the possible existence, the skepticism over extraterrestrials, all of these different things. But I don't think we've ever talked about, you know, so much about infiltration.
Yeah.
So we're gonna chat about this one a little bit. But before we get any further,
first the old business.
Awesome. Okay, I'm choosing these dates, these years and stuff, based on what's going to pop up the most interesting. Sometimes I'm like, hey man, this year, you know, whatever it might be, 1992, that's when, you know, like, I think that's when Terminator 2 came out, right? Like, obviously there was a lot of great stuff going on. Well, sure, maybe, but not necessarily this week, back then, right? So, but 1980, I chose 1985. There's no increments of years. It's just, hey, this was interesting. If you were alive in 1985 and doing things, then this is all the stuff. This is the smorgasbord of entertainment options that you had at your fingertips. So 1985, the number one song was Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears. To me, that's not necessarily their best song. It's actually you know, it's all right, but it was number one at the on that day. Number two was Heaven by Bryan Adams. Also not a favorite. Not a big Canadian Def Leppard fan. But number three, though, the Axel Foley theme from Beverly Hills Cop.
Classic shit, dude. You can't help but hear that song and think about that movie, bro.
It's just that suit. Yeah, and then the other two I don't think I've ever even heard of. It's Suddenly by Billy Ocean.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Suddenly. Yeah, that was a great... I love Billy Ocean. Billy Ocean was awesome.
You didn't...
I remember Suddenly.
I was going to say, you didn't make it more recognizable by just exclaiming the word. And then Things Can Only Get Better by Howard Jones.
Okay.
So, you know, whatever. But if you're going to go to the movies, this is what...
This is where it gets exciting.
This is where it is, dude. 1985 was one hell of a movie year.
12 years old.
Number one, Rambo, First Blood, Part 2.
Nice one.
Number two was The Goonies. Number three was Fletch.
You know, my kids actually even love the Fletch movies.
Dude, I don't understand. Like, I've always... I am one of those people. I've always loved Chevy Chase because he's a comedic actor and he's in stuff. But I've never thought Chevy Chase was as funny as his reputation for being a complete and utter asshole actually deserved. Like, there's other people that are a lot funnier than him, that are a lot nicer than him, that didn't get as famous as him.
Yeah.
And you're just like, dude, why you gotta be a dick, bro?
But you know, if you watch his movies and you think about the fact that even with Bill Murray, so many famous comedic actors, most of their funniest shit is ad-libbed. And when you think about that fact with Chevy Chase, if you look at his movies and realize that the shit he does is ad-libbed, you can kind of see he's a bit of an asshole. Yeah. Because, I mean, he's a fucking jerk. I mean, it's just...
Yeah. Well, like, Steve Martin pretends to be a dick, but he's, in reality, not one.
Right.
Chevy Chase is just a dick on screen. He's
an asshole.
Okay, so if you didn't want to go see Fletch, then you could go see View to a Kill.
My favorite James Bond.
Of the entire James Bond series, all of the movies, including the new ones, so all the way down the line, there are two absolutely, like when you say James Bond films, the first one pops in your head is in Goldeneye when Dr. Loomis is going to rack him with the laser, right?
Mm-hmm.
The next one is Christopher Walken in that cavern,
yeah,
machine gunning all of the workers that he's flooding. You know, he's like, it's kinder to shoot them than it is to let them drown because he's just that ruthless.
Yeah,
and he's just machine gunning all of his minions. I don't know if that's memorable to you or for anybody else, but for me, that was just like, holy shit. Yeah.
With that this era,
this is a really bad guy. Like, this is he's you know, but Christopher Walken is the best villain. He's such a good guy, but he's so menacing as a bad guy.
Right,
he's so brilliant as a bad guy.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. And just for my generation, just that era of James Bond is my James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
So View to a Kill was right up on top of that. And you know, Noah did a deep dive. I mean, he got obsessed with James Bond for a while. Of course, his is Sean Connery. I mean, Noah has literally watched more James Bond movies than I have. He's watched every single one, because the newer ones I haven't really got into. But he's literally watched every single James Bond movie from start to finish. I mean, he is obsessed with it. And he ranks Roger as number three. For him, it's Sean Connery, Daniel Craig, and then Roger Moore, which I find. But at the same time, I haven't really gotten into the Daniel Craig James Bond movie. So,
they're good.
The Roger Moore for me is more just, you know, from the heart, because that's the James Bond I grew up with.
Well, that's the one we grew up with.
Yeah,
and then in certain scenes, like in Octopussy, where they have that grappling hook crossbow, you know, stuff like that, where it's just like things you see in James Bond movies and in G.I. Joe toys, but not really daily functional. It's like not really what people have. But yeah, Roger Moore is very much my James Bond. That's, you know, because View to a Kill is awesome. It's not one that's brought up often.
It has the best fucking James Bond theme song.
It's got, Duran Duran, right? And we used to request that on the radio.
Yeah.
Back in 1985. Hey, can you play View to a Kill for us? But no, dude, like, it's not one that comes up often when it's talked about the best James Bond movies. But for me, that was one of the most impactful. I mean, yeah. I was 11 years old when this came out. We saw it in the theater.
It was a huge movie.
My dad was a big James Bond fan. So, you know, Mr. Tuxedo, which I'm Roger Moore in a tuxedo is going to kill you. Like, he's just that awesome. But it's so effortless that he's going to be drinking his martini while he's doing it. Like, he's just ultra cool.
Right.
And then you put him up against Christopher Walken. Like, you could put him up against Christopher Walken from Pulp Fiction. Like, the vet that carried a watch up his ass. You know, like, Christopher Walken's just crazy in his every little demeanor. So put James Bond up against that. That's one hell of a movie. So,
when was the last time you watched Cannonball Run?
I think whenever we talked about it for a long time on the show.
Okay, because like, you know, one of my favorite characters in Cannonball Run is Roger Moore playing a guy that thinks he's Roger Moore playing James Bond. It's just, and that's how big of a cultural phenomenon it was at that time. You know, it's James Bond was the shit back then.
Or you could have saw Brewster's Millions.
I love that movie so much. You know how big of a Richard Pryor fan.
Dude, when I was writing this down, I was like, my hands started aching. I was like, dude, like, music sucked that day, but man, movies. You could have just gone. I mean, this was all in the theater at the same time. This isn't like we're picking and choosing movies we liked. Because if you didn't go see Brewster's Millions, there was Cocoon.
Aliens.
The Gods Must Be Crazy, which is another one.
That's great movie.
The villain in that movie is that rhinoceros that keeps stomping out his fire.
I read an article about that the other day, actually, about the Aboriginal guy that was in the movie that found the Coke bottle. He didn't get paid shit. He made nothing from that movie at all. It was kind of a sad article that I read. But.
And then these are still in theaters. So you would have seen them, or maybe they're starting to move towards Dollar Theater or whatever. But Life Force, Aliens.
Okay. Yep.
Beverly Hills Cop, Mask, the what's his name? Freaking
the biker guy.
Not the toy group. The Mask, Eric Stoltz.
Okay.
My joke is going to be the Eric Stoltz movie, not the little car yeah, the action car things, guys. We need to do a whole show. We need to bring Fresh Eyes back, and we need to sit down probably together and watch Return to Oz.
Oh shit! I thought you were going to say Mask.
No, I don't want to watch that. That's got Sherry. That sucks.
Okay, just a little segue, real quick. Just Kamal Nanjiani, the comedian. He has a stand-up bit where he talks about when he was younger, he would he had this thing where he would record pornography, and what he would do is he would put them in the middle of movies. So like he would have a movie where you started off and it's just the movie, and in the middle all of a sudden the porn would start, so he could hide them from his parents and shit. You know, they put the tape in, and you know, it was just a regular movie, so they wouldn't think anything of it. So he got to the point where he was loaning them out to his friends. His friends were like, hey, let me borrow. So he loaned a friend of his the movie Mask with porn in the middle, except there was no porn in the middle. He says in the bit, he's like, my friend became the first person ever in the history of the world to watch the movie Mask with an erection the whole time. Waiting for the porn to start. And he's like, the next day the guy called me, goes, you got me.
That's awesome. Yeah, because Mask is definitely not one of those kinds of movies.
It's just sadness the entire time, man.
You could have seen St. Elmo's Fire, Police Academy 2, and Back to the Future.
That's a group right there.
I'm telling you, dude. I started right... Look, my movie list is never more than like 5 or 6. That was like 12. All right. So then in TV, we had Moonlighting, Miami Vice, Who's the Boss, Punky Brewster, Knight Rider. And then if you were small like I was, Transformers, Thundercats, Muppet Babies, Mr. T, G.I. Joe, Master of the Universe, and Fraggle Rock. All at the same...
Those were
like,
good times.
Like, all in the
those
same
good
week.
Times we were living in.
I do. These were just on TV. The other day, because we started... Juliet wanted to start watching The Simpsons. So she started watching Simpsons episodes on Netflix. And then I was doing something, and she's like, you know, you kind of got to be in the mood to watch The Simpsons because it's like this or like that. I was like, or you need to be at your house on Sunday at 6:30.
Yeah.
Like, whatever your mood happened to be, that's when you,
that's when you watched that's when you it. Right.
She's like, oh, because it was just on TV, and if you weren't there, I was like, if you weren't there, you might not ever see that episode right. ever. Like, I'm sure there's episodes that I've never seen because I didn't happen to be home when it was on.
Right, and you couldn't even depend on your VCR being programmed properly. Yeah. Because if the lights went out, that was a wrap.
Yep. Or if somebody
everything
watching,
reset
like,
and that
started
was it.
Watching a movie while it was, you know, it's like the show's on, the movie's playing. Like, we got a timer on. There was no Bluetooth back then. Like,
no.
But yeah, like waking up in the morning to like watching Transformers and then going to bed to, you know, like Knight Rider or something was, yeah. And all of these things have been, you know, deified as far as like pop culture high watermarks. They were all competing with each other at the time, and we just enjoyed them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's it for the old business. We're going to take a break and come back with the new.
Joined Army 6 June 69. Accepted Special Forces. Helicopter and language qualified. Expert in light weapons and guerrilla warfare. Sylvester Stallone is back as Rambo. Rambo's the best combat vet I've ever seen. His mission, to locate American POWs in Vietnam.
Think you'll find someone? POWs? Doubtful.
Come on, go back, go back!
His orders, not to engage the enemy.
He's got 36 hours to complete the mission and reach the extraction point.
We're going down!
You're not going anywhere.
I'm telling you to abort. Double-crossed and left behind enemy lines.
You're the one who's making the mistake.
Yeah, what mistake?
Rambo.
And now, he's getting out any way he can. Rambo. What most people call hell, he calls home. No man, no law, no war can stop him. Sylvester Stallone is back as Rambo. First Blood, Part 2.
All right, and we're back, and we'll get right to it. Mr. Gomez, if you would.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
All right, so we've been talking a lot of animal attacks, especially with sharks lately, and you know, what's bad is there's still tons of shark attacks in the new business, which is ridiculous, so I decided to look for something different, and I actually found an alligator attack. In South Carolina, which, you know, oddly enough, South Carolina seems to be a hub for alligator attacks. They've had like a lot over the past several years. So this one is really, really interesting. A 69-year-old woman in South Carolina, out walking her dog, got attacked by an alligator, got killed, right? Okay. So a 10-foot alligator, they know what alligator did it because when they walked over, you know, her mutilated body was literally on the side of this pond next to this golf course. So they go, EMT gets there, and they're like, okay, let's go try to revive her. The alligator was hanging out protecting its meal. So EMTs get there, and the alligator comes out and goes, yo, back the fuck up, and, like, chases them off. And they weren't able to get to the lady until, you know, wildlife and fisheries came out, caught the gator, removed it, and unfortunately she passed away. But it's pretty insane that it happened. You know, and like I said, South Carolina has its share of alligator attacks. They had 5 alligator attacks in 1 year at one time. Florida, they've even increased. Just all these animal attacks are increasing big time. And unfortunately, that's not the last death we have in the new business today. But, dude, that's okay.
Well, you know, we've talked, I mean, between the shark attacks, which, again, like I sent you a couple videos this last week of different events going on where sharks are just...
Yeah, it's getting bad.
And then the orcas are attacking yachts. And freaking, you know, like, there's all kinds of crap going on with the animals.
The next new business, this is kind of an example of Darwin coming into play. But apparently, you've been skiing before, even kneeboarding or anything. Okay, you know, like, at a high rate of speed, water pretty much feels like cement. Okay? Mm-hmm. So there's this new TikTok challenge where what people are doing is they're being filmed. They're filming themselves while on a boat traveling at a high speed. They literally jump off the back of the boat into the water. And there was an incident in fucking Alabama. Four people died in Alabama doing this stupid TikTok challenge bullshit.
So it breaks their neck when they
hit the water. It breaks their neck as soon as they hit the water. And it's, they're not going from high heights. It's just when you're traveling on a boat doing, you know, 50 miles per hour and you hit concrete, shit'll fuck you up.
Yeah, because you're not on a skim board that is playing with the surface of the water. Once you hit that water's hitting you at 50 miles an hour, and it's not trying to move.
Right. I mean, imagine the pain from belly flop, but you're doing it from 200 feet. You know? That's the difference between the two. And there's videos of people doing this challenge where they, even dumber, they're not jumping from the back of the boat. They're jumping from the front of the boat over to the side, and you got a propeller you got to worry about. You got so many things. You got a concussion you got to worry about from hitting the bottom of the boat. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen, and it's a trendy thing on TikTok, which TikTok is going to be the death of us, I swear to God. And the last actual death we're going to talk about, this one the headline just cracked me up, unfortunately. And, you know, just kind of a dark humor thing, but... Woman sleeping in her car. This is the headline. Woman sleeping in her car, chased down by man in stolen Lowe's forklift and killed in a Home Depot parking lot. There's so much going on with that. Officers responded to a burglary and theft in progress at Lowe's Home Improvement Store in Waldorf, Maryland. Next thing you know, the guy that's at the Lowe's stole a forklift, took off running, rammed the rear gates, got out with the forklift, and drove down. You know how they always have like a Lowe's and a Home Depot like right in the same strip mall? Drove down to the Lowe's. A woman was sleeping in a car. He started ramming the vehicle and unfortunately killed her in the parking lot of the Home Depot. It was just a weird-ass story. Of course, he was arrested. He was charged with first-degree murder. He was charged with first degree murder, second degree murder, assault, theft, and other related charges in the case. So I'm sure he'll be doing a little bit of time.
So this is just one of those moments, like in England, you're not allowed to have a tip on your chef's knife because they have knife crime. They have knife crime because they banned all the guns and there's no gun crime. And then like all the advocates on one side or the other, it's like, it's not the weapon, it's the person, or it's not the person, it's the weapon. If these things were not available, This motherfucker here
found a forklift next door.
Wanted that woman in that car dead. So instead of stealing a forklift from the Home Depot, where he'd set off alarms there and bring all the police response, he stole it from the. And then he's like, okay, I could go get to Academy and get a bat, I could go and buy a gun, or I could get a knife, or I could go to, down to the fisherman store and buy a frickin' spear gun, but instead I'm gonna frickin' steal a forklift and mash this bitch. Like, people are just nuts, dude. Like, the insanity of people and the kind of shit they'll do is just mind-boggling.
Okay, we're gonna get a little bit more lighthearted for a second. You know those saying that, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas?
That's not true.
That's not the case if you end up butt naked on top of a poker table dancing in front of people. Especially if you're a dude. So, July 11th, the New York man was arrested after he was accused of gyrating naked on a poker table in the Las Vegas Strip. This is so awesome. What I find interesting is Brian Danilchek, age 34, was jailed on 5 counts of indecent exposure. And what I'm curious is, did they count the number of people at the particular poker table? And each one was a separate count. It's just a really, really weird thing that he was charged with 5 counts when it only happened in one place. So, the Metropolitan Police Department over in Las Vegas was searching for him around 11:30 p.m. on a Sunday because he was involved in a fight at the Flamingo. Well, by the time they got there, apparently he had hauled ass and took over to Harris, where he was spotted without his sweatpants and climbed up on a poker table naked and flaunted his genitals. And I love this part of the police report. He's flaunting his genitals to the people playing poker. So security rolls up. He flipped around and showed his backside at that point. So basically, he started mooning the security guards. It's just an awesome, you know, I wish they had video of this going on because I'm sure it would be absolutely hilarious. But O'Brien was arrested. He claims that he did not recall the encounter once he sobered up a little bit from whatever he was on. He posted bond and he'll be scheduled to appear on August 17th. On his indecent exposure charges.
Man, that alcohol will do some shit. I've done some shit that I can't remember, but there was that one video of the guy who, like, just brought an alligator that he, like, ran out to, like, a Sea Note and grabbed an alligator out of the pond in Florida and then just carried it around a convenience store.
I remember that.
And they're like, why were you bringing an alligator?
But it's not just the alcohol.
He's like, I don't even remember doing that.
It's that in-room weed delivery service they have in Vegas nowadays. That will get you every fucking time. So, it's nuts, dude.
Dude, I think I sent you a picture when I was in Brooklyn in New York. So I'd never been to New York before. So I had to go. I went there on a work trip. And so for work, I was in areas. I was in off the path places where tourists don't go. I was in neighborhoods and grocery stores and stuff, right? And so I'm standing in this on the street corner because the guy I was with was chatting with the store owner, and I was just standing there and I glance up and there's like a walk don't walk sign, and on that walk don't walk sign is a sticker, and it's a professionally made with a .com. Weed home delivery service sticker with a phone number on it. Then we're having the conversation. I'm looking up there. I took a picture of it because it's novel. And then the dude's like, hey man, we got to go back inside because he just ordered 5 more cases. I was like, okay, cool. So we go back inside and he's like processing the order. And I glance over and on the register, there's a sign that says, we will no longer sell whipped cream to persons under the age of 21.
People doing some whippets? Or
because people are doing whippets, and New York State has decided that whippets are not good for you. So we're not going to sell whippet, like whipped cream, because they don't sell like whippets, like the kits. They're just like ready whip. We're not going to sell that to kids under 21. And I'm like, this is a conflicted city right here. You can get weed home delivery, but you can't buy whipped cream until you're 21, like
that's what's insane. The times we're living in now, man, it's like half baked come to life with the weed delivery to your door. And,
right?
And like in Vegas, you don't have to like go down. The pizza man won't even come to your room. You know, yeah. You have to go down to the lobby and meet him to get your pizza. The weed dude will go to your room and knock on your door. You don't have to leave the fucking like, room.
Who is it?
And he's there like, dropping off. He's dropping off your pre-rolled blunts and everything else. It's fucking nuts, dude. Okay, so finally we'll get to the inspiration behind our topic of the day. Recently, a video has gone very viral of a woman aboard an American Airlines flight out of Dallas that had just this crazy meltdown where she demanded she get off the plane that was already about to taxi. I mean, the plane was fully, you know, loaded, ready to go. She was even willing to leave behind her carry-on because she swore up and down the guy that was sitting next to her was not a real person. And it was insane. It would trip me out the most is the conspiracy theories that came out after this whole situation happened. There were people saying, because at one point in the video, she puts two fingers up, two fingers down. And she's kind of like, she had both two fingers up as though she was an airline stewardess explaining how to exit the plane. And then she put her right hand down for a second. And there were people that had like screen grabbed that part of the video and compared it to the Baphomet.
Oh no.
Yes, there were all these crazy conspiracy theories, but apparently she thought that a reptilian was sitting next to her and she refused to take off with him and told everybody, if you want to fucking die with this guy, you can, but I'm getting the fuck off this airplane.
Did they get her off the plane?
They got her off the plane. I have no idea what happened to her after. That's some crazy thing. There have literally been no interviews with this. Nobody has found this woman. She has not come out and talked about it again. She is totally gone. People, you know, right when the video came out, there were all these people, you know, on Twitter, which is just... I go to Twitter twice a day just to see the toxicity.
Oh, yeah.
It is insane what goes on Twitter. Twitter is basically RoboCop's Detroit right now, where it's just fucking every extreme you can imagine is going on Twitter. And there were all these people saying, hey, find this woman for me. I want to interview this woman. She has not popped up, which is pretty crazy. The only thing that popped up is one guy popped up with a video saying that he was sitting a couple rows back and saw the guy that she was talking about, who was apparently in a green hoodie, and then another guy who happens to be a Freemason that is saying that
he's the guy.
I was the guy in the hoodie. I'm the guy that she was referring to. I'm just a dude, and I decided to fuck with this woman, and she was drunk, and she lost her shit.
Yeah, I saw that video. I mean, it's a crazy situation.
But she was scared. I mean, she literally had... No, I tell people all the time, my mom used to tell me stories about the scary shit that she experienced when she was young with some of the mystical voodoo, you know, just paranormal shit that I grew up, you know, with living with. And some of the stories she told me, I would look at... My mom was legitimately scared of some of this stuff. You can tell that it affected her when she was young. And it made it a lot more believable. And that's one thing with this woman, whether she was drunk or not, she was seriously believing this shit was happening. She wasn't just trying to get off the plane. She was scared for her life.
You can tell in the video. Hey, I think we mentioned on a show in the past, there's my buddy Mike up in Wisconsin. We had a company function out in Vegas, and on the night before everybody leaves, they have a big thing and everybody gets wasted on the company. It's like open bar and stuff. So everybody gets trashed, and then you have to make sure that you're on the shuttles to take you back to the airport, because that's when your plane leaves. So I'm on this group text of a bunch of folks that I've been knowing for like 25 years at this point. And it's like, oh, hey, did you get your plane on time? Great seeing you. Haha, memories from the strip. LOL, check out this picture, blah, blah, blah. And then Mike's pops in like about 6 hours later. He's like, man, fuck Coolio. What? Coolio got me kicked off my plane because he thought I was drunk. Like, okay, there's certainly more to this story, right? Like, dude, what the hell happened? Well, Mike wasn't drunk because it was kind of early in the day. He was rotus, but he was still, it was like hungover from the night before and probably smelling weird. Sat down, glanced over at his seatmate, realized it was Coolio, started chatting with him. He said Coolio was just kind of quiet and like, you know, cordial, like, okay, man, you know, thanks, that's awesome, or whatever. And they called the stewardess over, it's like, you need to get this guy out of here because he's drunk.
Jesus.
And got Mike kicked off the plane. So, you know, like, maybe she's scared for her life. Maybe she's sitting next to a drunk guy and was like, I gotta go.
Right.
Like, who knows? I don't know, but let's take a break. We'll come back with the meat of the show.
The visitors arrived in 50 gigantic motherships.
which stunned the world with their monumental size and power.
We have come in peace
because we need your help. And in return, we will gladly share with you all the fruits of our knowledge.
Talk about an offer we can't refuse, huh?
I wonder what would happen if we did.
Manufacturing plants around the world were retooled to produce chemicals the visitors need for survival on their planet. In the weeks that followed, the visitors became a new and friendly part of our lives.
You got a movie?
I do not. Yes.
A visitor youth organization was formed, encouraging teenagers to join their ranks. The visitors were quickly assimilated into our culture.
I'm not very good at this.
Many close relationships developed between our people and theirs. But there were some who were skeptical, too inquisitive. They began to quickly disappear. And then...
The world was shocked today when Nobel Prize winner Dr. Maurice Jankowski of the Brussels Biomedical Institute in Belgium held a press conference to reveal the existence of an international conspiracy against the visitors.
Jankowski had unshakable proof that a conspiracy of scientists around the world was about to seize control of visitor ships for their own gain. A groundswell of resentment and prejudice quickly built against the world scientific community.
I can't work for you no more.
Because my husband is a scientist?
Yeah, he wrecked it up, said I was just a dirty little scientist kid.
Another biochemist, Phyllis, she didn't show today. Just like Ruth and all the others.
No truth to those rumors.
Shall I stay then?
See you, Daddy.
Becoming more deeply suspicious of the visitors, news cameraman Mike Donovan infiltrated one of the huge motherships and discovered that the visitors had orchestrated the conspiracy themselves so that scientists would be ostracized around the world. And Donovan also videotaped another startling revelation. As Donovan's tape was about to be broadcast.
Just off.
Somebody's pulled AT&T right out from under us. The whole damn network's off the air.
Look, we know what's happening. Totalitarian suppression of the truth. Not only on television, but they've got the papers too. We are under martial law.
And paranoia. You've got to be more careful what you say.
What, in my own house?
But he lives here.
You don't really think you'd call them, do you?
Mike Donovan has become a fugitive. Hunted. Scientist Robert Maxwell and his family, unable to escape the visitor's tightening net, have been given refuge by Abraham Bernstein, a survivor of Hitler's death camps.
They have to stay, or else we haven't learned a thing.
And the resistance movement has begun. The theft of equipment for a biochemical lab, spearheaded by med student Juliet Parrish and Dr. Ben Taylor, who was mortally wounded.
Oh my God!
For victory, you understand? Go tell your friends.
And now, the conclusion of V.
I'm telling you, I'm getting the f*** off, and there's a reason why I'm getting the f*** off, and everyone can either believe it or they cannot believe it. I don't give two f***s, but I am telling you right now, that mother f*** back there is not real. And you can sit on this plane and you can die with them or not. I'm not going to.
And that sound you just heard was the sound of a frightened woman trying to get off a plane. So, what do you think that she thought that it was? I'm going to read something real quick because when we started talking about it, it's like the aliens among us. The whole subject of, like, even our prior episodes where we talked about aliens are very outdated considering all the stuff that's been going on lately, all the declassified stuff, and all the way the government itself is actually kind of admitting to the fact that there's extraterrestrial, not just life, but craft.
Right.
You know, Which I honestly have to wonder, because I think that if the government's right now saying, like, oh, we've experienced alien craft, but then tomorrow some tablespoon scooper on Mars was like, oh, we found fossils from a million years ago, they'd be like, we found life on another planet! Right? Like, it would be, like, incongruent.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know, the government admits that there's aliens, except for the fact that there might be aliens. It kind of... But where did the reptoid concept come from? It predates our concept of aliens, really. The idea of reptilians was popularized by David Icke, a conspiracy theorist who claims shape-shifting reptilian aliens control the Earth by taking on human forms and gaining political power to manipulate human societies. Icke has stated on multiple occasions that many world leaders are or are possessed by the so-called reptilians. This is a quote from Wikipedia on reptilian conspiracy theory. This is not something out of my head, because I think it's pretty... I don't like the idea that we might be subservient to reptilians, but I think it's kind of cool that it's possible that other people are. I don't know. It just makes shit interesting, right? So, what's your thoughts on reptilian conspiracy theory?
As far as the reptilian conspiracy theory and the reptilian shapeshifters and stuff, I kind of put that in the same boat as I do with the Scientologist theory that, you know, we're all descendants from aliens that died in a volcano and they possess the bodies of the cavemen and we eventually just evolve from that. I don't really buy into it too much. Do I believe that, you know, there are aliens? Yes. And we've talked about that. And the main reason I believe in that is a man by the name of Rudy Rucker, who was a mathematician, that one of his theories was, if you look at space as being infinite, you know, something that doesn't stop, one of the things that is representative of infinity is a circle. Because a circle is a line that doesn't stop. It just keeps going. And the thing about a circle is that it's going to repeat itself. So if you look at space as being something infinite, you got to realize that somewhere out there is us, is you know, living organisms out there. So yeah, I definitely believe in aliens for sure. There's other life out there, but the reptilian thing, I just can't buy into it.
See, I don't buy into a lot of things, but then if I actually sit down and think about them. And this is not like, oh, I do a bunch of research and I'm trying to become an expert. But it's just like, okay, let's just think about things for a minute. And you, like, let your mind go into a weird loop, right? There are mainstream current scientists that are discussing not only the existence, but or the possibility, but the existence of multiple dimensions, time incongruities, all kinds of magical stuff happening at the subatomic quantum level. Like, the math involved with you becoming, with you existing, with all of your ancestors surviving evolution from its beginning to the stardust that is the Earth, to like all of the things, is like trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions to one.
Yeah.
Right? And we've got 8 billion people on the planet, and they're being like, oh, we're overpopulated, and that's possible. But 8 billion is still like nothing in the scale of
in the grand scheme,
of size of things. And so, like, is in the realm of possibility. I mean, Romans conquered, Greeks conquered, Chinese conquered, you know, like all of these different cultures who, in our modern society, we look around and be like, well, they're not so different from us, are they? But in ancient societies, they were very much different from us. They look different, they're a whole different color, they're carrying different weapons, they have different customs, they're completely alien to us.
Mm-hmm.
And you can sit around and discuss whether or not they exist. And that's feasible. You know, like that's a elementary concept. You can also discuss whether or not they are within reach of us, and whether or not they're friendly, and that's a different concept. But then you see how all of these different societies have risen and fallen, and a lot of time it's because of internal bullshit. Could it be that they exist, and maybe they live among us, and maybe if they don't control things outright, they have a hand in it, because at some point in the past they made an agreement with world leaders. It's no more unfeasible than you becoming a human.
Right. Well, that's one thing where
so like, you know, like when it comes to conspiracy theories, you have to go back to the money. You have to go back to where people, I don't think people are just generally naturally suicidal. We're not just going to enter into agreements that we're going to just destroy everything because fuck everything. Like, there's some psychopaths that will, but in general, even the worst of worst people are actually looking out for their own self-interests.
Yeah.
And there's things around them. So why would you make an agreement with, like, the lizard people that landed, right? Like, they're aliens. Like, why would you make an agreement for that? They're like, well, we could just blow you up.
Unless you let us go ahead. Well, and the thing about it is, you know, just to...
We want to heat your planet because we're lizards and we like warmer weather. And right. Y'all are going to help us do it. And then while you're helping us do it, then you're just going to slowly kill yourselves over time. Nobody actually has to be killed.
But while you're alive, you're going to enjoy your life.
You're going to enjoy your life more and more. You're just like a rat in a cage. You're just going to enjoy your life. And then as you start to die off, then we'll start taking over.
Well, just to clarify my opinion, just so you know, while I do not believe that that is what's happening, I wouldn't be surprised if we found out that it was true. Does that make any sense? Anything is fucking possible in my world. Sure. Because I've seen some wild shit. So anything is possible. But yeah, so I would not be surprised at all if that was the case. Maybe Hollywood has made me that way because of some of the things we're going to discuss today, but...
Anyway, that's going into the reptilians. So you can mark me down as a definite maybe and Scott as a reluctant maybe. All right, end of show. Just kidding. We've had a couple drinks. We took a couple breaks. It just is what it is. Roll with it, guys.
Okay, so we can go ahead and start with probably the closest to what the conspiracy theories run with, which, of course, is John Carpenter's They Live, which is exactly what you just described. You know, hierarchy made a deal with aliens saying, okay, you take care of us, we'll take care of you for the time being.
I do not disagree for a second, but you shocked me with what actually you said, because I thought you were going to say V. That was some scary shit in 1980, whenever that was. But I agree with you. But so we're gonna have to talk about. So let's talk about They Live, because that's absolutely. I think that movie has gotten more relevant as time goes on, because the advertising and the smoke and mirrors and all of the deflections to keep you... They're staging like giant catastrophes to keep you from looking at certain political intrigue.
They Live as a conspiracy theorist's true story.
Absolutely.
Basically. And just one guy happened to, you know, by accident discover what was going on.
Yeah.
You know?
No, absolutely. That's, like I said, John Carpenter had a couple of early hits, and then as far as blockbusters went, as far as like super successful films went, they started to decline. But then you go back and look at the body of work, and he told the story that needed to be told.
Yeah.
It like whether the studio made its money back or not, John Carpenter was true to his vision, and he told a story that maybe it was too soon. It was ahead of its time. People didn't really want to hear that.
Yeah, they didn't want to believe that kind of shit.
When that came out. But then now we look at it and it's like, that's all it is. Every pretty flower is masking.
You can relate to
sort of something.
Yeah.
Dude, like, I didn't post it on Facebook because I couldn't find the right words to express how weird it was. But I started getting ads on my Facebook, you know, scrolling, which is essentially my family, it's like, here's an ad for, like, cheaply made lingerie for large-breasted women. And I'm going, okay, like, I scroll, like, okay, so did I click on something? Something happened where I actually, you know, made them think that this is something I wanted to see. And I'm like, well, dude, first of all, it's Facebook. I'm not going to buy cheap Chinese underwear for anybody on Facebook. If I want to see boobs, there's other places I want to go. And my wife buys her own shit. So I don't need to see this. This ad is irrelevant. Boop. It keeps showing me these same ads. I'm like, boop. Again, a preface. Bras for large-chested women. I don't want to see it. Hide this ad. It's irrelevant. 2 days goes by. New ad pops up. Bras for small-chested women. I shit you not. Like, oh, well, we're obviously, so something wrong with the calculations. We sent the wrong ad to the person.
Right.
And so they're declining the ad. So now we're going to go back through and be like, well, if he declined this ad, we'll just send him that. Do you want pizza or hamburger? Well, I'm not in the mood for pizza tonight. Hamburger, 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 hamburger. Like, it's relentless and it never lets you go. Just...
Well, you know, what's interesting is They Live came out when I was in high school. And I remember watching it and everything. And, you know, it was a pretty wild movie and stuff. One of the most epic, you know, ridiculously long fight scenes ever in the history of movies. But one of the things that made me kind of realize where it was going is, like I said, I was working in the movies at that time. And we had just did a makeover on the theater. And I was talking to the manager. And he came up to me and he goes, hey, you know why we picked these colors for the carpet? And I said, why? And he goes, well, statistically, from what, you know, we've read, these colors make people feel hungry. So subliminally, we wanted people, when they walk into the theater, to see these colors and want to buy popcorn. And that made me realize, you know, you can affect people's psyche so easily. So why is it that absurd to think that there's subliminal messages out there trying to control us that we don't realize is there? Like, would you realize when you walk in a theater, the color they painted the fucking walls is supposed to make you hungry?
Mm-hmm.
You would just get hungry. And would have no idea that they were manipulating you.
Like, oh yeah, that smells good. Like, let's do that.
Yeah, yeah. And that was, I was like, holy shit, we're living in They Live.
We are living going in on? They Live.
Yeah.
There's people protesting because, I don't know which city it is, but cities want to project... advertisement on the night sky with drones and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That will happen. People are going to complain about it for a while, but there's going to be some giant endowment for the research for what they can do with that kind of stuff. And freaking Nike is going to have a 1,000-foot tall icon dancing in, you know, out over the Statue of Liberty, and then everybody's gonna be like, "That's awesome! Let's do that!" And we're gonna be closer to Idiocracy.
Yeah, but there's reasons why stores are set up the way they are. There's reasons why candy bars are at the fucking checkout line. You know, it's impulse buys. It's, you know, that your kid is gonna, you're in line, you're already stressing and aggravated because the lines were too slow and people were behind you waiting. And
your kid's
bitching about getting a candy bar. You're just gonna go ahead and buy one. You know, there's reasons the drinks are up there, the single drinks that are ridiculously priced. you know, you've been walking around the store the whole time, you're thirsty, you're about to go into the heat, let me go ahead and get something to drink. You know, there's a reason why they set things up, and it's to, they know how you're going to think.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to control your reactions to everything.
It's, oh, yes. Yeah,
it's crazy, man. I mean, it's we're living and they live, for sure.
So when we talk about the alien, you know, the aliens among us, and this will be a short segue because there's the stuff that is hidden, and then there's the stuff that's right out in the open. There's the stuff, the stuff that's hidden, you know, a couple of things that come to mind because we always talk about it, but like The Thing or Alien. And the reason that it gets under your skin, the reason why it's so scary, I mean, obviously, the alien is frightening. The overarching fright is that you might sneak in this monster carrying, you know, you might be carrying it in with you whenever you pass quarantine mm-hmm. somehow. Like, it got through. Because the guy just, he felt better. Like, oh, you know, not realizing that he had a embryo
right.
growing up in his body. But there is, that is a tangible fear, you know. I read a book not too long ago about, it was a fictional book kind of set in the Black Plague era, and how they were had a, such a strict quarantine because they could not know. Some people were completely asymptomatic. Other people were, like, very symptomatic. But even the people that were asymptomatic were carrying it around on their clothes. So, like, you could have a last survivor in a plague town that... Once everybody died, they're like, okay, well, I'm just going to go elsewhere.
Yeah, I'm going to go find somewhere.
And they're not sick, but they've got...
They've carried, yeah.
They're carrying on their clothes, and then, you know, they hang around for a while, and it comes out. That is a palpable fear. You know, we've all lived with that fear, even recently.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you're dead because of a black plague or a black mold or a fungal infection or something, you're not any less dead. You might not be scared of lizards, but you're still in the ground being tilled into whatever food that they're trying to grow to attract the crickets that they like to eat with their long, nasty tongues.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You were not paying attention, and you thought for a second, you're like, that was not on script. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. I'm just going to smile and nod. All right. What you got next?
No, another very early one that was probably one of the earliest movies to go along with this theme was Invasion of the Body Snatchers and the Pod People. You know, and that's another one where aliens just infiltrate everything and they're existing among us and we can't tell who the hell they are.
So I'm still laughing at your reaction. I agree. Invasion of the Body Snatchers was... we talked about it on old episodes. You know, my dad put me through movie 101. He's like, oh, these are the movies you need to see. Mm-hmm. And among them, you know, Cool Hand Luke and Night of the Living Dead and Invasion of the Body Snatchers and King Kong and stuff like that. Invasion of the Body Snatchers, to this day, is the one I think that got me the most disturbed.
Yeah, it was crazy watching it when you were younger. This shit came out, you know, when I was 5 years old. Yeah, that was a wild movie.
Special effects with the dog. Oh, God. And that's a throwback to the Mars Attacks.
Yeah.
Because it was all like, what? Like, oh, it's cartoony. What are we going to do? Like, oh, it's a little dog with a, you know, human head on it or whatever. It's like, what happens when you get to realistic makeup and props? That's absolutely horrifying. <You know? laughs>
Yeah, so that's another definitely good example. You already mentioned The Thing, which is kind of the same, a similar vibe to it. But then you have more modern movies like The Faculty, which is another good one. That which was interesting because, you know, The Faculty, for a long time, the teachers were always the good guys.
Yeah.
And the faculty came out, and all of a sudden, the teachers were actually the bad guys. They were the ones that everybody had to watch out for, which was an interesting way to spin things.
Unfortunately, that's... I've seen the faculty. That's been a long, long time. Uh-huh. That's one of those... I know what you did last summer, 90s movies, where everything was colored like blue and purpley black.
Yeah, everything was dark.
And you're just like,
man. Even the VHS cover is just dark.
Yeah, you're just like, really? Come on, man. It's like, not everything's Scream. And Scream itself was a send up to all the 80s horror.
Yeah.
But I realize it's producers. They just are like art directors. I'm like, oh, studio heads. Like, make it orange and blue. That'll sell. Put a stripe across it. Put the good guy at the top and the bad guy at the bottom. Make them look at each other and like, "Arr." Like, well, this is the Titanic. It's Jack and Rose. It's not freaking Kill Bill.
Right.
Come on.
But you brought up V. Do you want to talk about V for a little bit? Which was that was a whole series.
V was a series, and V was an early vehicle for Robert Englund. And in a strange, out-of-character sort, he was the good guy. He was not... I don't think he was the primary good guy, but he was the primary good guy of the antagonists, right? Mm-hmm. And what V was about was there was an alien invasion, or not an alien invasion, there was an alien visitation of a culture that looked just like us. They were just like us in all sorts of ways, except, spoiler alert, from a TV series from like the early 80s, but under their humanity looks, they're actually lizard people. And if you break their, if you hit them hard enough, their skin will break, and whatever stuff between the lizard skin and the human skin that keeps it lubricated starts dripping off in this weird gel sort of look, kind of like out of Alien.
Yeah.
And then you have like this 7-year-old kid that's sitting there like shitting his pants because, oh my god, we're being invaded by lizards, reptoids. What the hell? Like, we keep coming back to it. It's got to be conspiracy.
Yeah.
This guy has to be real. There's no way it can't not be real. I mean, V just, that was probably like the probe that we sent out with like Leonardo da Vinci's man with his legs and arms spread.
Uh-huh.
And it like lands and it's also got like Beatles songs and stuff in it. And they're like, why are you sending us dick pics and vulgar music? That Earth is just sending us middle fingers from all different ways we can possibly. Like, let's go fucking kill them.
Oh, man. But you know, and the thing about it is, if you take something like V or something like They Live, conspiracy theorists will actually look at that and say, see, Hollywood's trying to let us know what they're doing right in front of us.
That's that whole criminal returning to the scene of the crime.
Yeah.
And that still happens. Even though they told us in school that that's what happens, and statistically people don't do that, people still do that.
Right.
All those fuckers went through elementary school. They should be like, well, in elementary school they told us that the perpetrator always returns to the scene of the crime, so I'm not going to do that. And you would think that that number would reduce by like at least 30%, but it doesn't.
Right.
It's the same number from back in the day. Sometimes even people just want to be on TV or some shit. Doesn't matter. It doesn't make it.
So yeah, it's definitely a trope that has been around for a long time. Species is another one. Alien humanoid that comes out.
She was so cute.
Yeah, she was.
She was controversial too, because she was naked in half the movie, but I don't think they showed it. She was controversial for that.
Yes, yeah, it wasn't to the point of...
I think they shot an R-rated version and they cut it up.
And another one, of course, is Slither, which isn't quite as much as them hiding, but showing how aliens can take over a body.
It's arms.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to blame pretty much, well, not all of our problems, because humans are pretty stupid. But I would blame a lot of problems on the aliens. They're the ones with the contrails flying over.
Right.
Dropping worms on us so that we'll become an alien society instead of a society. There's a lot of things to be scared of.
Oh, it's interesting, is, you know, South Park had the one episode where they revisited Cartman's alien abduction. Do you remember that episode where they revisited, not the original one, but where they revisited his alien abduction?
I haven't seen that one.
And what happened is, all of a sudden, it was a full repeat of that first episode. And the kids were like, wait, we've been here before. And they go to the doctor, and what it ended up being is, the aliens had originally abducted Cartman to throw a satellite in his ass. Because Earth was the number one reality series for television programming for this alien race of people. And they went ahead and re-abducted Cartman because his satellite had broken. So they had to reset everything. So the kids ended up meeting with the aliens that were running, and they were planning on canceling Earth because it had gotten boring. And honestly, that conspiracy theory kind of flies. We're fairly entertaining. And it was so funny because they were playing some of the trailers of the upcoming episodes. And they were like, the Chinese are angry once again at the Japanese. And they were like, it's watching all our conflicts. And everything was being manipulated by these aliens for entertainment.
I don't think that's too far from the
truth. No, that's a fairly plausible explanation.
We are damn entertaining.
No shit. The things that we go through, oh my
God. And then as soon as something's not entertaining, we're like, fuck them. Kill them. Stop giving them money. Give them all the money until they do something stupid, and then take all of their money away and then watch them slide.
Right.
Watch them kill themselves. We're a harsh species.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that. I watched this thing the other day, and I was explaining this to Olivia the other day, because she was like, I told her, I said, hey, Tony and Justin went to the Paramore concert. And we're riding in the car, and we're listening to The Cure. And she goes, oh, yeah, I used to be into them. And I was like, I want you to think about what you just said, because there's a big difference. And there was a reel I saw the other day with Chris Rock and Kevin Hart, where Chris Rock had told Kevin Hart, hey, I want to know if you want to maybe open for me for a tour I'm about to do. And Kevin Hart was like, no, you should be opening for me. And Chris Rock looked at him and says, no, you don't understand the difference. You're hot. I'm a legend.
Yeah, I'm legacy.
And that's what Olivia said. You know, what you just said, think about that for a second. You know, Paramore, you used to be into. You wouldn't want to go to their concert. But if The Cure was to come to concert and we could go, you would want to go. And so the difference is, that kind of shit lasts. Yeah. There's a huge difference between the two things. There's one thing about being hot and being popular, but you die off really quick if your shit isn't good enough.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people tried to cement a legacy and failed and ended up reality TV stars.
Because being the hot thing can only last sometimes a week. And mm-hmm. Next thing you know, nobody knows who the fuck you are.
Like the hamster dance. Remember that? Yeah. I saw a meme earlier. I was like, I forgot about that.
Oh my God.
That shit was hilarious. I don't know why I'm all over the map. It's been a hot freaking week. I've been in my car. I've just kind of rehydrated with some beer. If I'm sounding a little bit off, it's because I'm a little bit off. It's not because I'm stupid or...
And we had to skip a week because of the holiday, right. And we're getting back into it.
That whole, we were talking about something off the air.
I'm sorry I segued like that, but that was cool. You brought that up, and that was an interesting... Like I said, me and Olivia just had this discussion the other day about the difference between being hot and being legendary.
Oh, there's so many comedians. There's so much stuff. You know, it's like, we talk about Richard Pryor, Steve Martin. Steve Martin quit
read his autobiography. This has nothing to do with aliens, except for them. Maybe they're all reptoids. We don't know. But we're not accusing them of being reptoids, but it's certainly possible that they are, right? Steve Martin started a stand-up career. Didn't think he was funny. Didn't think he had jokes. Learned magic. Started at Disneyland. Rode his bike to work every day. And then, like, on his breaks, went and hung out with a sleight-of-hand magician that taught him tricks. Like, these guys, like, are legends of comedy, like, and movies and TV and everything. Steve Martin stopped doing stand-up right before The Jerk came out.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, the crowd's too big. I can't write jokes that are going to hit that many people. I know where my strengths are. I'm going to funnel them into this. Richard Pryor, dude. You know, killed it in stand-up. Killed it in movies. Just absolutely crushed it. Like, just could do no wrong. Even his critics are like, yeah, you know, he could have done better in this little frame. Like, dude.
He was legendary.
Dude, we've been doing this show since 2016. So, like, we're coming in on 7 years. We have to subtract two, but we've fucking been doing this for a long time. We've had our high points and our low points. Like, we don't sit there and be like, okay, so we're hot right now. Let's think of some shit to do, right? Like, it just doesn't work that way. Unless you have help from the reptoids.
That's right.
They can take your sketches and turn them into full-blown fucking pictures, right? They can take your idea about an electric car and turn it into Tesla. Like, they can do it because they have the alien technology, and they're hovering up there.
And they have the ability to make the populace want to see you.
And then they're making the populace just want to eat all of the food and buy all of the shit and then die off. So then they can just come and, like, move into our shit. They just have to move out, like, get a shovel and scoop out all the KFC buckets from their apartment windows. I think it's real. That bitch was on fire. She is right. Do not let reptoids onto the airplane with you. This has been the Scary Dad Podcast.
They gotta travel too, dude.
They've got spaceships.
But they can't use them. We'll see the trails. And they're different.
They're fucking weird. I'm sorry, reptoids. Don't come at me. I'm sorry.
All due respect.
And a whole lot of respect that probably isn't earned, but you can have it. This has been episode 182. We love you. Keep it scary.
Later.